Hello, everybody. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. I'm Dave Custy. Today we will talk to Ray Blankenheim, who will be producing and hosting a show called On My Stoop with Ray. Hello, Ray. How are you?
I'm great, Dave. Great to be here.
That's good. So tell me a little bit about yourself, Ray.
I'm going to tell you about myself, but I'm also going to tell you why I want to do this show, On My Stoop with Ray. And I think the best place to go is back to the beginning. I'm an old Brooklyn guy. I'm from a, you know, it was a good neighborhood, but a somewhat tough neighborhood, but everybody knew each other. People would sit outside in the evening. I would sit with my grandparents and the people in front, and people would walk by and they would talk to each other. It was very much of a community that way. My father became more successful. He met my mother at the Naval Shipping Yards, and he started becoming a successful engineer for the government. So we started moving around, and we left that hamlet of Brooklyn. I would go back every once in a while. In the summer, I would spend my summers over there. And I always loved that neighborhood feel. Kids playing with each other, families interacting with each other, merchants who know the families. My mother, what we did is we settled in a very nice neighborhood called Bowie, Maryland, which is outside of Washington. It's considered Washington suburbs. But it's not far, particularly when considering traffic, it is not far from Baltimore. So every once in a while, my mother, we'd all drag the whole family up to Baltimore, and we'd go to this restaurant called Hausner's.
Oh, yes, I remember it quite well, with the lovely art that they used to have.
Yeah, wonderful art. It was such a nice place to go eat. You would look at those beautiful paintings. There was this cool ball of string on the second floor. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You know, and that museum on the second floor.
Mm-hmm. The waitresses called you hun, and they were all, you know, just they treated you just like family. It was a really great place way back in the day, geez.
Right. Great German food. Mm-hmm. I've got some Italian, I've got some German in me, and we both enjoy, you know, my family and I, we all enjoy both types of food. But one of the things my mother would say would be, this is like Brooklyn, because people know each other and they talk to each other, and you see people sitting outside. And the whole thing is like, she didn't like the suburbs. Mm-hmm. She would always complain, people don't walk around, they don't talk to each other. So that always stuck in my head, you know. And I grew up in Maryland. I started hanging around in Baltimore more when I was going through college. A lot of my frat brothers from Maryland were from Baltimore. Phi Kappa Tau, great fraternity. Also, my friend who I was working with on Capitol Hill lived over by the Club Chuck and the Belvedere. So I started hanging around with him in that neighborhood. I started hanging around in this neighborhood right down the street, my buddy Jimbo Lucas.
I know Jim very well. Yeah.
Sure. And Jimbo Lucas was kind of like, at the time, he was a Sam Malone of bartenders in the neighborhood, you know?
Yeah.
And so through him, I got to know the folks here at Hettinger's, which is a great restaurant that we are located on top of, and hung around with Kenny and Jane, got to know them, and I just fell in love with the neighborhood. One of the other things, what happened is that I decided to start commuting back and forth to Washington, to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I found my place one day when I was hanging around this bar that at the time was called Toby's on the corner there.
Right. Yes, I remember that.
Yes. Well, do you remember what it used to be called before?
Dead Rabbit?
The Dead Rabbit. It was called the Dead Rabbit because there was, what was it, a rabbit in the window, right?
Yeah.
I think.
That's it, yeah.
But anyway, I was coming out and there was this guy who lived over there by the stoop by my buddy Jimbo's house, and his name was George. And he would sit there on his stoop, listen to the Baltimore O's game, and drink a Natty Bo. And this is what he liked to do. And he'd talk to people. And so one day I sat there after it was like an exhausting day. I just got back from Washington. And I sat there, and we drank some Natty Bo's, and I was like, I love this neighborhood. You know, this is a great neighborhood. People, multiple generations of people. Okay, so at that point, after a while, I was renting with my friend Phil, who also was a great neighborhood guy, Phil DeBase. And we'd have our adventures. We were young men meeting young women.
As you do, miss.
We were playing pool. We were doing all these great things, and I was loving it. And I decided to be a homeowner. So we bought this house. I say, because actually my wife at the time, we were getting together. And so she started hanging around at this house that I bought, you know. And it was over by Collington Avenue. Over there by Butts and Betty's, by Patterson Park.
Right.
All right. Always a great landmark. Butts and Betty's has been in this neighborhood forever. Family business. And so I saw my buddy Chris Brown. Okay. And he was with this other lady and this other guy, and they're driving around. And he stops to talk to me. I'm like, Chris, what are you doing? He's like, well, we're on Citizens on Patrol. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I started talking about that, and I started talking to him about the community association and, you know, how, well, I don't really feel like I should go join the community association because they don't represent our block. So he talked to them, and he got our block represented in the local community association. We were a little bit kind of between Butcher's Hill at the time. So
you weren't in any, like, Fells Point or Butcher's Hill in between? I used to have a house up on Pratt Street, and I was officially in an urban renewal area. I wasn't in any of the preservation areas.
Right.
So the upside of that was, and I hope nobody of import is listening right now, but they couldn't tell me what to do when I did construction on my house.
Right. Which is a benefit, but, yeah, you know, there's so many more positive benefits.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot more to be part of the association. Yeah. I was just, you know.
Yeah.
Just having fun there.
No, I understand. No, this is some of the things we're going to talk about on this show, is how do you do community activity work? So I got involved with, it's called, at the time, the organization was called Concerned Citizens for Upper Fells Point in West Canton. A real nameful, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a great organization. My friend Rodney Payne was the president at the time. Soon, I became recording secretary, and I started getting involved in, believe it or not, the crime committee. The thing was, is when we moved into the neighborhood, and I didn't even notice this at the time, because I'm, you know, as I said, I'm from Brooklyn, and it was a bit of a tough neighborhood. But, you know, and God bless this country, but, you know, there's heroin issues here and there.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up with that fact around me. I recognized it in New York. At the time, Battery Park, you know, famous places like that were really bad. Thank God we've kind of gotten the situation a little bit more underhand. But, you know, to me, it was like no big deal. And also, but I started noticing that the heroin and the prostitution seemed to be mingled in one. And so we had those things going on. We had folks in the neighborhood who had been there many generations, and there were some issues with, you know, just a couple problem houses on a block here, block there. You know, so I said, Chris, you know, I really want to get involved with this, you know. So I started working with this, with at the time, the crime committee chair was Alyssa Merkel. And she's one of our great neighbors now. I see her every once in a while. And we started working on targeting these different houses, gathering police reports on them, like people would call in.
Around what time was this? What year? Was this the mid-90s?
This was the mid-90s, yes.
When I had a house up on East Pratt Street, since it was a major thoroughfare, I had a lot of drug dealers around at the
time.
And my house was kind of a lookout area because I was on South Chapel, too, which is a alley street. And so all day long I would be hearing 5-0, 5-0, 5-0, and talking to the police.
Yes.
It took them about 8 months to get them out of there because there was about three houses around here. But they would be sitting around on the stoops early evening.
Yes.
And when the cars would come up and on, there would be police around, but they said they really had to infiltrate them before they got them in there. But that was kind of the worst time around here because
Absolutely.
It was just, I would go in my room and just turn the air conditioner on because the drug house next door, one night I remember, they shot up the air conditioner, just like a Wild West show.
Wow.
You know, so,
that's
I remember because that's only a couple blocks from where you're talking about.
Too. Salute for you for actually buying that house and being a pioneer in that way.
And I was a pioneer.
No, you were. That was the whole point. What happened is we started working as a group, you know, and we learned that the community association was that venue. We got block reps or block watchers, you know, to start logging all activity on each block. And we worked with the state's attorneys office, very cooperative. I mean, these people, you know, they were there for us, and they did all they could. Plus, we found that the police were an invaluable ally. You know, they are telling you the truth when they say they have to infiltrate, and it takes time. So what does that mean? It means that the neighbors had to work with the police, log activity, work with the association so that no neighbors are singled out.
Right.
Then it's the association's crime committee or president job to get in touch with these homeowners and also work. There's another great thing in Baltimore, and it's, you know, I wish more communities had this. It's called the Community Law Center. Okay, the Community Law Center helps with these types of situations. They will provide, you know, lawyers to help you figure things out. They provide handbooks on how to take care of this activity, you know. But it's usually what we found, it's getting people to log, all right. And from that, okay, well, this person just left. Then at this time, okay, the basic descriptions of what these people are, okay, and there's forms that you fill out to do this stuff. And now the newer development is you do that and you issue a 311 report.
Yeah. It's interesting to
it's
me, too,
automated.
How it's progressed. I mean, you and I go back 25 years or so here, and it's a great neighborhood in that people really care about their houses and on, and like we were talking about with the drug dealers and all in the early 90s. It's good for me to know that there were other people out there trying to do the same thing, because there were times where I thought that I was all by myself.
Exactly.
You know, because I couldn't be there 24/7, and I had to be, because they were always on my steps, and I had to be really, really gingerly say, could you
be
move
careful.
Off the steps?
Right.
But they were so well organized. I was telling Neil Franklin from Leap when I was interviewing him the other day that one day I got a knock at my door, and there was this guy, well-dressed guy, and it turned out that he was a community liaison for the drug dealers.
Because
he asked me,
yep.
Oh, I understand you don't like people sitting on your steps and all. He said, well, if I lived here, I wouldn't like that either. And we'll see what we could do. And I thought, boy, that's really a well-organized drug circle there. You know, not that it's a great thing, but, you know, they have somebody that comes in and then, you know, tries to appease the neighbors and such, which of course didn't work because I didn't want them around. But eventually they left. But part of that is really growing up here. And as a homeowner, as a neighborhood development, you know.
Yes.
And so that's what makes this, I think, a rare area. I'm sure there's lots of areas around like that, but what makes Fells Point really one of a kind, too, you know.
Well, let's talk about that some. And, okay, so now we gathered, we targeted people and places, mostly a lot of the homeowners. And once you get a few successful cases in court, okay, against some of these more intractable owners,
right?
Okay, that's all you need to start going after these other property owners. And what we have in Baltimore is called the nuisance abatement law, if a community association can actually sue a homeowner, okay, for creating a nuisance.
Really? I didn't know.
Yes.
That.
And it's a huge, huge tool that we were able to use to help clean up the neighborhood. Because it's almost like that Fonzie reputation, you know? Like, okay, well, Fonzie got his reputation after beating up on a couple of guys, you know, and then no one wanted to mess with the Fonz anymore. It's the same thing with a community association. So we took that reputation and we started attacking one of the more intransigent areas. I remember talking about this. It was along Patterson Park Avenue, down to Eastern Avenue. That's been that way for years. The girls have been around there. There's no way you're going to ever take care of it. Guess what? Now, I mean, my God, you know, let's slow down a bit. I became president of the association, all right, and I heard, you know, when we were working with people, I heard people call me, like women, and, you know, like I remember one Latina woman called me in the middle of the night, and she was scared, really scared, and I heard that message, and I was just like, okay, we have to do something. But anyway, it was easy. Once all the neighbors, you know, we all started gathering at that point. We all started working together. And, you know, we managed to, you know, get some of those rougher houses taken care of. And all of a sudden, it launched a huge revolution of people. You'd see people at Home Depot on the weekends with their, you know, their picks and their home, their
DIY
demo.
And such.
Yeah, the home demo materials. That's one of the first things I went and picked. You know, my place is huge when I bought it. To me, I thought it seemed huge. I didn't really, you know, think I needed a place like that. But I loved rehabbing that house, you know. And that's what happened. It's just like we're seeing a neighborhood now that is just a thrill and a pleasure to live in. Just so many activities. You know, I could go on and on about, you know, last Sunday night, for instance, we had a great, the Friends of Patterson Park, another great organization that's been working the park for years. And it was fantastic to see them develop and what they did to, you know, help clean up that park and, you know, get it back. It was just a brief period in time when Baltimore just kind of slid a bit, you know, and these people came into the neighborhood, including myself, and everybody was very welcoming. Baltimore is very amiable. At this event, there were, you know, it used to be we used to go to these events and it was like young people, you know. Now it's young people with kids.
Right.
And that was... it's one of the most, you know, it's still...
That's what you were striving for. I mean, that's
right.
What, you know, I remember those days, too, where people were afraid around the park, and now it's just amazing the change. You know, I think what I'd like to see, well, maybe we can set down the road, is to put on the website, BaltimoreInternetRadio.com, like a timeline of Fells Point. you know, from the 70s, because that's when I first started hanging down around there.
Okay,
it's funny, earlier when you're talking about Club Chuck, for people who don't know, it's Club Charles up on Charles Street, and I used to play in a band in 1979 called Touch the Floor when it was called The Wigwam.
Right, really?
Before, before it was Club Charles. So, there's so many interconnected things in the city that's just... You love. That's why I come back. That's why 10 years I come back again.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to have you back.
You don't have to say that. That's so nice. No, I'm turning red already here.
Yeah, no, we're all very... Everybody's very excited about this radio station in the neighborhood.
I hope so.
Because it's what... And we've talked about this. It's going to be a lot of it is going to be community-driven. You know, and we're going to get that word about Baltimore, how great it is. But also, you know, if people are struggling, you know, this is how you
We're
can
a
do
voice.
It.
We're a voice. I want to be here. And the thing I tell people is that nothing that we do here is a one-off. It's like I want to do like a massive business plan for every show that we do, whether it's tourism, business, or social issues, and that we follow up on things. You know,
yes.
We put people in the right direction. Hopefully, this is what I really want to really go after, and I think, you know, we're making a good start.
Yes,
and it's really fascinating, this area, like I said before. But your show, On My Stoop with Ray, I have to get that in my mind, title of it there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you'll talk to people like yourself that have been around here for years and years and years, and been through the wars, you know, and have the changes and have implemented those changes, and getting people's personal stories like that. That's one of the really attractive parts of your show.
Right. Preservationist. Fowl's Point itself was saved. It used to be, for a while, it was on the wrecking ball because of they were going to put 395 through there. And, you know, folks like Senator Barbara Mikulski and the Fowl's Point Preservation Society stepped up. And actually,
yeah, you're okay.
Okay. Actually stepped up and, you know, and actually preserved. You walk around, you have a sense of history in this neighborhood, from the row homes to the waterfronts. And so one of our first guests is going to be Ellen, the president of the Fowl's Point Preservation Society. And she also runs the tourism center down there. Mm-hmm. And she's going to go over, we're going to talk about history. History is going to be, as we agreed, history is so important to understand where we come from. And this neighborhood has some amazing historical stories. The gangs of Baltimore, amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're going to talk about that and also some of the preservation efforts that are ongoing now. Right up the street, the Billie Holiday. Billie Holiday lived right up the street, and a gang of folks are getting together and recognizing that through a screen painting campaign.
Just reading about that.
Yes. So we'll get folks about that, talking about that in the Baltimore screen painting movement. Politicians. Okay, I tell you something. I've been in a lot of different cities and worked with a lot of different political teams. These people care about the community, and their eyes are wide open and their ears are wide open, and it's just a pleasure to work with them. And so we're going to have some of our city councilmen or our state representatives who... You know, I've always worked with them in a relationship. They always want to know what's going on in the neighborhood and how they could help. And to me, they are courageous individuals who I've seen them help to the point where it's like you look around here, and it's not just them. They'll tell you. It's the associations. It's the neighborhoods. It's people working together. But so that's another good thing about this neighborhood is getting involved with the politics at a local grassroots level. What else were history? Also, we're going to talk about Federal Main Street effort. Try to bring in some of the folks that are making a difference. Now the federal Main Street is getting involved with a lot of the communities and helping a lot of the associations and, just kind of helping them. So we're going to talk about a lot of that momentum going on and also all the cool things that are happening. All right. Can I tell you a story about...
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. For instance, we went on the ping pong boat over from the Museum of Maritime Museum, which is a beautiful. Do you know the Maritime Museum over there? It's where brought up the history of shipbuilding and everything, and they teach the kids that. But there's what we call a ping pong boat back and forth to the industrial complexes over there in South Baltimore. And we were going to go visit my wife's cousin who was staying over there. So we were walking towards the hotels, and we saw all these food trucks gathering. Dozens of food trucks of all different types of exotic Baltimore type of unique foods.
And this was just yesterday you're talking
about. This is Friday night.
Friday night. Okay.
Friday night. And what's going on here? It was over at the Industrial Museum across the way, and mm-hmm. That's a great complex. And so we started talking to them, and it was like they were setting up like Barnum and Bailey, you know, the guys were talking to
putting
them.
Putting their tents up and all.
Yeah, I mean, they were like, yeah, in here, and Carol, you go that way. And, yeah. You know, I mean, these people all know each other. Who we talked to was a president of the Baltimore Food Truck Association, okay? And they have this thing once a month where they gather all their food trucks, all different restaurants, unique foods. I mean, it's not like the old days, you know?
Yeah, like a pulled pork sandwich and that's it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, this is a new American tradition, and it's also happening in Baltimore. So we're going to bring him on board and talk to him about that event that they have, and they have rock and roll over there once a month. So we're going to get involved with that, you know, and they're very excited to, you know.
To participate in it, yeah?
Yes, to participate in a joint relationship with us. Maybe premature because they haven't really, you know, worked on the
logistics
details.
Of it.
Right. But no, this is the type of things that happen. You're just walking around and there's some festival, just things happening. It's a beautiful city. The other weekend we went to the Little Italy Festival and we had a great lunch, and then we walked to Inner Harbor East and we watched a movie. And then from the movie we walked over to Fells Point and got to hang out with our friends, and we listened to some live music, you know. So it's very much of a walking city.
Yeah, it is very self-contained. It's like the whole world.
Yes.
Just a few blocks.
Yes. And the music scene, my God, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, we've been talking about that, getting local musicians on board here. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be part of my show or, you know.
Well, no, it's going to be both. It's going to be a separate show, plus you can have them on your show, too.
Right.
I'm going to have a separated show
right.
of just musicians, local musicians.
Great. And that's the whole thing. It's like we're showcasing this neighborhood and, you know, my show, On My Stoop with Ray. You know, we just want to give people a feel for this great neighborhood, but also... You know, we want to give people a voice to help them, you know, if we can. This is a magical formula somehow that we put together, everybody. And I just walk around and I see the success. And so, you know, I want to kind of get out of retirement a bit, you know, community retirement a bit, and kind of promote this neighborhood. And I saw, you know, your radio show as a chance to do that. We know a lot of folks that we could bring in. And, you know, just to try to figure out what did we do that, you know, it was like opening up a genie in a bottle. And how can we help other people with that, you know, with getting there themselves, because this is a great country. The cities, you know, are wonderful things, you know, and yeah, and just being able to like raise kids in a city. Whoever thought?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we got charter schools in now. We got, I was talking to the folks over at Butcher's Hill, which is a neighborhood right next door. And we'll talk about Butcher's Hill because it's a great history. One show, whatever.
That's actually where I was living too.
Yeah, right. So we'll have some folks on the Butcher's Hill Community Association. And they were telling me that they've been working on an education committee. And this has really helped spur, you know, the charter school up there. And you know, and our community association is active in a lot of ways in those things as well. So actually, you know, another thing is to try to get some, you know, mom and dads who are raising kids in this neighborhood here and talk about, well, why did they decide to do that? And, yeah, you know,
and what problems you're facing.
Right.
What's the attractiveness of it all, too?
Right, right. And I think they will tell you the attractiveness is that their kids are constantly meeting new, interesting people, doing new, interesting things, you know. And plus, our backyards are nice enough. You know, they got some green space, beautiful park. What I consider, with the help of all the neighbors and the politicians and everybody alike, is Parison Park is a wonderful asset. Oh, yeah. Full of history.
It is. It's a beautiful place. I mean, it's a great place just to unwind, and I live right off of it, and you just walk through there if you're getting all stressed out, and you just see all the people and the families that are there. You know, it's a whole new world. Plus, being away for 10 years and just coming back, I've noticed a lot of changes, and we've got new neighbors too. Latino families have moved over. Broadway has got Latino shops and restaurants and all. We want to bring them in and talk to them about what they think of the place, and you know, like,
yes,
any problems they have, and you know, we can address them. And you know, it's going to be, I think we're going to do a lot of good stuff here, you know, a lot of fun stuff too.
Economic, the culture of diversity, such an important part of America. You know, I mean, I remember in Brooklyn, there were people all over the place of all different shapes, sizes, nationalities. And that was always the most interesting thing for me when I was a kid. And, you know, if I was a parent and I was raising a kid in this neighborhood, I would find that, I think the kids would find that exciting and the parents find that exciting to actually be able to experience that, you know, being able to go to the Latino restaurant and show them the multicultural aspects of, you know, of different folks. Right. And, you know, and then you've got, you know, I mean, you know, Baltimore itself is a huge history of different populations, Polish, and now the Lithuanians. The church up there is a Lithuanian church, I do believe.
Right. I think I know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, it's a melting pot just in this 2-3 mile radius.
Yes. You know,
so many different people from all over the world, and it's fascinating. And we want to all get together, you know, be together, and you know, get along together too, because we all have problems, but a lot of our problems are universal. So hopefully we can help each other, and hopefully this will be an outlet to get that done.
Be able to walk down the street when you're a bit upset and see your neighbors, say hello.
Well, you mentioned growing up in Brooklyn, and I lived in Brooklyn myself too. I lived in Greenpoint for a while.
Okay.
And that was a Polish area, and and neighbors watched out for themselves. There was little enclaves of Italian areas too, and such. And that's the same feeling that you get here. You know, you got somebody, something seems untoward, neighbors will look after neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
at least
it.
That's my take. That's good. That's a good start.
All right. So, so please tune in. You know,
tell them the name of your show again, Ray.
On My Stoop with Ray.
Okay. We've been talking to Ray Blankenheim, and his show will commence almost immediately. We're going to be recording it shortly. I'm Dave Custy. You're listening to the Baltimore Internet Radio, and we'll be back right after this.
Thanks.